This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, Jen LM and Coffee, Coffee, Coffee.
I am on Skype.
I'm on Skype.
Hello.
I'm on Skype. Wait, no, we got to get Jen. Do I know Jen? What is Jen?
Oh, Kevin, look at this pro setup you have here.
You like my little microphone?
I like it. It sounds good. It sounds pro.
Thank you.
Do you have a little microphone?
Just a little boy.
That's not that little.
It's the Audio Technica.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's about the average size of microphones. A lot of podcasters lie about the size of their microphone.
I'm in an awkward position because all the men in my family have just slightly above average sized microphones. Like, not enough to, like, really crow about, but, like, you know, not exactly sweating it.
Merlin, I mean, if I could pay you a compliment, it's got a good girth. I mean, it has, in fact, you've got special hardware to accommodate the girth of your microphone.
I'm sort of raw over here. I don't have a...
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I see.
As a Jew, I have the wind sock taken off of my microphone.
like a wizard sleeve. Let's see, Jen. Is that Jen? That looks like Jen. Jen is here. Jen is not here. And then should we play Alex handle roulette? Let's try all the Alex things. Oh, look at this. There's four. Let's add all of them.
Oh, there's Alex.
Hello. Look at my internet.
Wait, how'd you get in here? I'm adding you anyway. There you go. We now have five ways to find her.
I clicked join conversation. Oh my gosh. There's one canonical address, and that address has been, what in the world? Oh, that address is now owned by Microsoft, and they just won't give it back to me. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like Skype roulette every time. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Is Jen coming, or can I start my anecdotes?
I'm trying all the things.
Okay.
All the things. I'm just pasting everything in my text channel into the window now. All right. Let's try. Let's see. Oh, God. Oh, there. That's her, too. Okay, let's add all of these. I'm adding all of these people to the call.
Merlin, Kevin,
yes,
Budnick,
there.
And eight others.
Okay,
boy.
It's trying all the Jens.
Jen Baines the world over.
We've got Alex Cox, Alexandra Cox, Facebook, Alex Cox 42, Live, Alex 30920.
There we go.
Hey!
Wow!
Jen.
It's the dream team.
Cool.
We're all recording.
And do I need to do anything on GarageBand?
Oh, you're double. You didn't need to do. Look at that. Look at you. You're a professional,
what a
Jen.
Pro.
Well, yeah. Okay, I can't tell if you guys are making fun of me or not.
No, I am not. I am not. That's
Alex just has resting patronizing voice. I get hacked.
Oh no! How did you get hacked?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't really consequential for me. It was more of someone stole money from Amazon. But basically, what happened was, you know, I've been watching Amazon quite closely because it's basically my entire lifeline to the outside world, and I just order pretty much everything on Amazon. I just looking at my deliveries app right now. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 packages coming over the next, you know, whatever, 2 weeks from Amazon. It's nothing crazy. I'm buying, like, you know, I don't know, fucking laundry detergent and, towels and just household stuff. Anyway, I was looking at Amazon on my orders the other night, and I happened to notice all of these orders, like dozens of orders for PlayStation gift cards.
Oh, it's not good.
Bummer.
Not
this
good.
Happened to me too. I got an email yesterday that said PlayStation that my account on PlayStation, like my username had been changed or something.
Your PlayStation got hacked?
It's also like when you get that call from your bank that's like, did you just buy a great deal of gasoline in Oregon?
No. So basically, do you remember last week you guys recommended this privacy app? It's called like Mongoose or something. What
It's like Jumbo, which Jumbo. I did not endorse it. Jumbo. No hot hands here. Jumbo. I was like, I've never heard of it.
So I installed this app, Jumbo.
I was just asking the question.
I know, you're just asking questions.
It was not a recommendation. It's Pound Sign Merlin shit list.
No, I know. So I install. Listen, correlation is not causation, but I installed Jumbo, and Jumbo was like, I'd like to log into everything. And I was like, okay. Ooh. And Jumbo's like, give me your Facebook. And I was like, okay. And then it was like, now give me your Twitter. And I was like, okay, Jumbo, you can have my Twitter. And now it's like, now log into Amazon. Okay. I was like, okay, Jumbo, you can have my Amazon. It just wanted everything. It does a scan, and it's like, did you know on Facebook you're sharing your birthday with your contacts? Do you want to turn that off? And I turned everything off. I actually found it fairly helpful. It found a few, like, I think I do a pretty good job on my privacy stuff, but Jumbo found a few things for me. And then I was just sort of like, okay, thank you, Jumbo. Good night. And I closed it. And then like 3 or 4 hours later, I saw these fucking PlayStation gift cards on my Amazon. So immediately what I did was I went into my bank account to find out which, did they use a credit card or a debit card, or, you know, what was happening there? And did I have some sort of protection? Very strangely, did not see the purchases in my bank account.
Oh,
the mystery deepens. The mystery deepens. Mm-hmm. But there were in my order status over $500 of PlayStation gift cards in increments of $20 and $50.
And you don't remember buying this?
No. No, I blacked out. Let's see. It was like midnight. Hunter.
This is me playing, frantically playing video games in a fugue state.
Yeah. Midnight. Hunter ready to buy Amazon gift cards. No, I didn't buy them. And they weren't in my bank account. And I thought, that's very curious. So I went on Amazon support, which is very hard to find, but I eventually found a chat window, and I think they probably am able to see how much money I spend on Amazon, because they were very helpful to me and immediately refunded my purchases. And I turned off two-factor and turned it back on with a new, I'm using like a third-party app now. I'm not using text messages. And I changed my password and logged out all my devices and did everything right. But I later was able to forensically reconstruct what happened. It's actually an amazing scam. I'm actually sort of impressed by how good of a scam this was. So here's what they did. Somehow this person logged into my Amazon account. And when I went to review my Amazon account, I saw a Kindle Fire device that was like showed like logged in as me. And I do not own a Kindle Fire. So Lord knows how. I do have two-factor authentication on my account, so God knows how they got in there. I'm gonna try not to lose too much sleep over that, but maybe they did a social engineering. I have no fucking idea. No idea. But somehow someone logged into my Amazon account. And then what they did was they contacted customer service in my Amazon account, and they went through a bunch of old items that I had ordered and said I never received them. So, for example, I had gotten a few months ago.
Oh, shit.
In January, I got $120. I bought a year's supply of air filters for my HVAC system, of HEPA filters. And I received them. They're in my basement. I can see them right now. And they went through and said, I never received this item. And Amazon just credited my account with like a Amazon gift card for $120. And they just kept doing that and then spending the gift cards on PlayStation gift cards tied to their PlayStation account, I think. So what's crazy is I went and complained about the PlayStation gift cards, and then Amazon refunded me about, I think it's like $512 in an Amazon gift card sitting in my account right now that I didn't earn. That's like not my money.
Wow.
Oh, so
are you having a moral dilemma about whether or not to use this $512?
Well, no, it's not.
I think he's, well, Alexandra, I think Max is posing an Old Testament ethical dilemma.
I see.
Let me just stipulate that I actually don't think it's a moral dilemma. It's purely a question of if I'll get caught.
Okay. That's from the New Testament. Yeah.
Yeah. I've already decided that if I don't get caught, I'm spending it. But the question is, will I get caught?
It's not morally wrong.
No, it's morally right. I think it's actually morally correct for me to spend this free money.
Is it possible that you, Max, have unintentionally discovered yet another MLM?
Oh.
Can you keep converting that? So imagine it's like, you know, Dwight starts with the paperclip, and you're going to trade that, and you want to eBay your way up to an automobile or a house. Can you convert all of these refunds into more refunds? in your downline, right? You know what I'm saying? So like already you're making money off this, let's be honest. And all you did was lose a little bit of sleep over it. But how do you keep converting it? Now, what if you tell them you never got the gift card? Max is gone. Max
He's
is
gone.
I get a little water. That blew my mind. I had to get some water. I had to process.
You see what I'm saying, though? Like, okay, so... What you don't realize is you were brought into someone else's MLM.
Is it possible that? All right, let me freak your bean a little bit. Is it possible What if no one's ever bought anything from Amazon? Maybe one person bought one book in 1999, and everyone's just fucking asking for refunds and trading gift cards around.
Mm-hmm. It all starts with one copy of The Orchid Thief, and now we're all in the MLM.
Yeah,
we just don't know it yet because we haven't gotten our car.
We're all in Jeff Bezos's downstream.
Oh my god.
Then how do you explain the HEPA filters?
Someone else paid. That was
where did
all
the lighter fluid come from? Yeah.
No, the thing is that I paid for the HEPA filters with a gift card that I got from refunding Alex's, you know, Rode podcaster that she never paid for.
And never received.
I know, I'm not using it.
So now you're making double Rodes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a lady who swallowed a fly situation.
You take a dollar, you throw out a banana. You take another dollar, you throw out a banana.
I can settle this. It was me. I was on Max's Amazon account.
Oh, really needed those PlayStation gift cards.
You old scamp.
I honestly, what would you spend if you had $500 of credit on PlayStation gift cards? What would you even buy? Like, how many copies of Spider-Man for PS4 do you need?
Can you use it as fun bucks to like enhance your world? Aren't there when you guys play your video games? Don't you do things like buy special robes and enchanted swords and shit? You go to the taco truck and buy a sword. Couldn't you use that to like fill your vault space? Hey, wait, 512. 512. How many spaces do you get in a Destiny vault? Isn't 512 one of those magic numbers? Like 128, 256, 7 meats, 3 cheeses. Are you feeling me on this? I think that's a meaningful number, Max.
I don't know if this is a bit or if it's real.
Don't you?
Do you have Do you have questions about Animal Crossing?
That's the thing. I wonder if one day Merlin's just going to start rattling off actual Animal Crossing facts and statistics, and then it's just my brain is going to break, and I won't know what's real anymore. I'm like, wait, is Merlin referencing the uphill storage curve? What is happening?
Yeah, yeah. What I do is I do what's called a bell arbitrage, and I convert turnips into bells, and I pay the capitalist pig Tom Nook, and also there's a zipper person that we're all upset about.
Mm-hmm. He's bad.
How'd I do?
You did pretty good. You did really good. Mm-hmm. Good job.
The zipper person is kind of a Rebel Wilson type situation, right? Doesn't zipper person, they're wondering about the zipper because you take off the outfit and there's a whole Rebel Wilson underneath, like in Cats? Isn't that what happened?
Is it a human or is it a bunny? Yeah.
Is it a bunny? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's one of those drawings that could be two things. Mm-hmm. We're back to that, the goose or the old lady. Max, what do you could do? You like buying lube. You've done that before. You can't buy lube on PlayStation. Oh, does this have to be spent on PlayStation? If you get this converted back into Amazon bucks and you get, for the sake of argument, what would that be? What's 512? You get 1024, I guess, in buck cards. You could convert that to another platform.
I have the money. I have the Amazon dollars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you know what else is crazy? About every couple hours, I get a little ping going, someone has requested like a two-factor authentication code.
Oh, fuck. Okay, listen. So security by obscurity. I want to talk about this in the after show because I do have a question about your 2FA on this. If people wanted to find the after show, where would they go? Anyone?
Friendshippingpodcast.com.
Friendshipping. Is it dot? It's friendshippingfm.com. Is that right?
Just friendshippingpodcast.com.
Are you sure?
No.
Hold check on. Your account.
Jen's been hicked.
You can go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com if you want. And we'll probably put this dumb video up, too. Is the video ruining the show? Be honest.
I refuse to do this video once we are all in the same place again. And
I refuse to do the podcast unless we're on video, so now we're at an impasse. We've got a little Mexican standoff. Oh, shit!
Jet.
What season is that?
That is David and Goliath.
Season 38, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, classic.
You're good. You're ready to go rob a bank.
I have a Winners at War buff that I've been wearing out to the grocery store. I pull it over my nose. And when I walk down the sidewalk, I go, they're coming for you.
Did Jeff write that, or did Jeff's son write that?
Oh,
why don't you
goodness.
Get Jeff on the horn, Max? I know he's your close personal friend.
The comment for you. I wonder, can I find that YouTube winners
probably
at war song?
Oh no, you're singing the song.
Yeah,
that horrible,
yeah.
horrible song.
Winners I love the horrible war. Song.
I don't hate it. I gotta confess. It doesn't bother me as much as it should.
No, I
well,
thought
it's just weird because I'm used to the grunting. I'm used to
right.
the grunt man
mm-hmm.
song.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of like ooh ha ha, it's like a bad Fiona Apple. Oh no.
Oh, this is bad.
This makes me want to do a Jan Levinson Gould dance.
Oh, God. Don't you have Sound Source? This is a professional program.
He took me by the hand, made me a man. hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Send this to me. Can you see what it is?
I'm looking at a blurry cube.
Oh, okay. Let me.
City. Are those crazy bones?
These are
no. We don't say that. We do not say that anymore.
What do you people have to hide? Turn off your blur.
Hold on. I'm turning off the. How do I turn off the blur? I just think it looks uncanny and upsetting. Unblur.
You look good. It's very flattering. It looks good on you.
There's nothing. The only thing there is the like clitoris pillow. It's not exciting. So look it.
Excuse me.
There is a giant box of
S-ports.
Yeah, no, they're neurotypical crazy bone sports, and I haven't. Okay, this is upset. Never mind. I thought this was a bit that I was being trapped into.
Alex, what's that in your background?
No,
what's that in the background?
That's the gigantic clitoris pillow that Matt needs to.
Is that an immunity idol?
Does
that come loose? Is that an idol?
It's definitely hidden.
Oh my god, you guys, I have literally, someone sent me a package, a gigantic, oh god.
They sent you a box of gay bones?
Never. Yeah, I'm surprised no one showed, there are stickers! Oh, Kevin, oh my god, guys, look, it looks like a little,
you didn't open them until,
it's like a coffee filter. No, wow. I assumed it was gonna be a bit and I was gonna be trapped into something, but no, someone just sent nice toys. Oh,
there's no cards inside there. Is
no.
Oh no, there's cards and everything.
There, but it was from Amazon. So,
my God, it's full of cards.
Exactly. Dig deeper. The Two of Hearts is next to Bone Magic Bone Boy. What a good name. All right.
You talking about Cubone? Cubone from Pokemon?
Wow. Good job.
Yeah,
that was really
works for Tom Nook.
Yeah.
I found out. You know, you're the one who told me he's problematic, right?
He's a slumlord. He's,
yeah. Well, and,
not Tom Nook, but Cubone is problematic because that's his mom's skull. Is that accurate?
It's not that he's problematic. It's that he's darkly tragic, and it's weird that he's your favorite.
And he's so cute. He hits the man with the bone. Remember?
While wearing his dead mother's skull.
Wait, why is that? You've made that up, or is that canonical?
No. It is canonical. Kevin, I don't know where Kevin has gone, but he can back me up on this 100%. Like, yep. Hey. Oh.
Little
Cubone.
Since we're all showing off our bones.
You know, I have a Twitter beef with Kevin.
What?
Kevin did one of those memes of like, give me four characters to draw.
Yeah.
And I said gadget hack wrench, but not horny.
I did that.
It was a little horny.
You can't not make it horny. Horny is in the eye of the beholder, my friend.
I thought it was a little horny. I don't know. I did not like how horny she was.
Now, was the drawing horny or was the viewer horny? Is where does one end and the other begin?
No, the art. I don't do anything to the art. The art is it's unveiled and it comes into my senses. And it makes an impression.
What is it called? Gadget ratchet fence?
Gadget hack wrench.
Gadget hack wrench?
Gadget hack wrench.
From Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
But do not search for an ad. Put not.
Oh, okay. I was going to guess DuckTales.
Put not horned on there.
Just, yeah, put
Oh, shit, dog.
Safe search on, let me assure you.
Exclude all...
You can't draw this thing on horny. Come on.
If dick, then no.
Yeah.
This has some serious late 70s horny Disney vibes.
Yeah. That is...
She's got goggles? Wow.
Yep.
Is she a mouse?
Yeah.
It's a horny mouse.
She's not horny. She's a brilliant inventor. She invented the soda bottle.
She has a name.
She has a soda bottle. She invented this. Oh, there's a pregnant Gadget Hack Wrench. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. Let's try Gadget Hack Wrench Vore.
No.
Oh, are we going to... Do you want to start this? Because I have quite a bit of new Digimon 4 I could share.
No.
Oh, look at that. Oh, hello, Agumon. Sorry.
Oh, no. She's got a stink line that makes a heart? Is that the love she feels for her mouse baby?
I believe there's a cult in Russia that worships her as a god.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, sure, why not?
That makes sense.
She invented the little a Coke bottle dirigible that they travel in. That's her original invention.
No, they just keep coming.
Oh,
that's what she said. Gadget Hatchet Face? Is she eating or being eaten in that picture I just sent?
No, she's eating. Who is she eating?
A little person. It's another little mouse person.
A little anime girl.
Tasty kids.
It looks like a little anime girl.
That looks like Kiki. Oh, no.
I mean,
it's a stretch, but like, oh, and look at, there's Tombo down there. Like, if you really...
Oh, no. Most ambitious crossover. Wait, that's the bicycle boy? The flying bicycle boy?
I mean, again, it's a stretch, but if you were like, who is this young anime girl? I would be like, oh, that's Kiki. But
I wonder if what happens if I go on DeviantArt.
Oh, this is what happens. This is actually an old standby that I've just sent
look at
you.
That.
Yeah.
No.
Digimon.
What?
So to the listener at home, we're looking at pictures of drawings of cartoon characters eating other cartoon characters.
They know.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I worry video's ruining the show.
This is basically what the show...
Oh, here's Vore Editor. I found Vore Editor on DeviantArt. Okay.
Editor.
Vore Editor.
I'm not comfortable posting any of these in the chat, but there are some weird... There's some really weird shit.
Oh, man. Do they think people get pregnant by eating other people?
I think it's like the bat suit, but just takes one person to have that idea and draw it, and then that's where it started.
I think we're leaving the world of today, and we're entering into a world of fantasy, Merlin.
Now is the time. Now is the best time. Erp, oof, I am full loan exploded. What'd that mean?
What is this? Is this Yu-Gi-Oh? Oh, this is
I've seen this.
This is the Zootopia abortion comic that you've just found.
Oh,
Jen just found the Zootopia abortion comic.
Yeah,
what is this? I need an explainer.
You will never unveil the unknown that you've seen this. You are entering.
I have.
Oh, see, okay, Jen, please explain the Zootopia abortion situation.
So you know the movie Zootopia?
Yeah. Yes.
Of course.
Well,
Judy Hopps.
Yeah, it's a pro-cop propaganda movie is what it is. Mm-hmm. And some right-wing conservative on DeviantArt, which is like a cursed phrase we're already, turned the characters into, how, I don't know, someone else, pick up where I'm putting down here. Explain what we're seeing.
It's a domestic slice of life manga about Judy Hopps and the horny fox living together.
Oh yeah, Nick Fox or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
And and they love each other, and Judy gets pregnant, and I think the fox wants her to keep the baby, and then.
It's a Bruce Springsteen song for emotionally stunted people, which would be a Bruce Springsteen song.
Backwards.
Okay. Is he's pregnant?
No, so I think confused. I think maybe he wants her to get an abortion and she doesn't want to.
Oh, I see.
Yep. No. Hmm. And our super secret text channel now is... Hmm.
Yeah, a lot of what they call in court, they call evidence.
No. Is, a
I'm
photo-
starting to complain against myself.
The most upsetting part is if the, any of this is admitted into evidence, people scroll, like normies scrolling through this would be like, that picture right there is the most innocent of them all. It's very upsetting.
Look at that drawing.
Yeah. Oh.
Look at the action in that.
Imagine
drawing.
Having this kind of talent and using it for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's called I Will Survive, a Zootopia fan comic by Borba. Why did Borba make this? Does it have an anti-abortion message?
Why Borba?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's because the fox wants her to have an abortion.
Oh, I see. But we do read it with the grain. We're supposed to be sympathetic to the fox man?
No, we're supposed to be sympathetic to the rabbit lady.
Oh, the rabbit lady, because he wants her to... it's a Papa Don't Preach type situation. Okay. Got it. I saw some, how shall I say, commercial art in an advertising medium recently. And it was Anna and Elsa nude, pregnant, and discovering one another.
Oh.
And then I closed the tab. And I said, whatever this could do for me and what I'm working with, I need this to not be up here. No. Because they're both like this. They're both like...
Did Gruber also thank them in the main feed for sponsoring?
the Department of Sisterly Pregnancy Discovery. You guys know Fracture.
I'm sorry. I've. This is. It's not the video that's ruining the show. It's that I searched for Gadget Hat Crunch on.
You sullied the show.
On DeviantArt. It's so weird, dude. There's.
Of
baby.
Course it is.
I mean,
yes.
I don't know what I. I don't. It's
what
weirder
did you
than
think?
I thought. I don't. It's weirder than I thought it would be.
Well, you know what? I mean, like, I can answer that question, Alex. I mean, like, you expect one-axis weirdness in life.
Yes, it's weird to draw the mouse sexy. That's where I thought the boundaries were. But
yeah.
It's like
okay.
Spilled over into. There's so many other.
When you get into to three or four-axis weirdness combined with a lack yes. of talent, but no less.
Here she is. Here's Gadget Hack Wrench. And she's, I'm not going to post it because it's upsetting, but she's okay. dressed as Princess Jasmine from Aladdin, but mm-hmm. also okay. she's a baby and she's wearing a diaper and she's being fed a bottle.
That's three axes.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Well
That's
done.
Fair.
Well done. Then he flips his scarf. Everything's yeah. going to start.
I'm just going to open another crazy bone. Good God.
Oh God.
Let's see. So, can I read you what I wrote down this morning when I woke up from a dream?
Oh, please. Yes. Permiso.
Permiso. Yeah. I've been going through a time lately. I also want to talk about evolution in Galapagos and how we're all going to be different in weird ways over the next couple months. Mm-hmm. This is, let's see, last week I lost the recipe for blankets and for my father. The COVID plants and plant pots are missing, but they still smell. The truth is we never found the rocks after we moved, plus the rocks and beads dissolved from international disuse and pleurisy. The plywood restroom at the old dream school is dark and still narrated by Ira Flatow. Everyone is in my way. Everyone is in my way, and I'm out here trying to save the universe. A sidewalk is a contract. So I sigh as I do very rhythmic parkour all over your family. One morning, all the people under a certain height just disappeared, and it was the saddest loss. They were so little, and they all loved wearing hats.
All right. I've learned that I shouldn't ask.
I don't have a song. I don't have a song, but I'm eventually going to have a song for this, and this is going to become a bit. I'm just kind of tossing it out there for right now.
What does it mean that you lost the recipe to your father?
I lost the recipe for my father, but also for blankets.
Also blankets.
That is one of the most tragic sentences I've ever heard.
What about the plywood restroom and poor Ira Flatow?
Sure. Great.
I've been having crazy dreams the last couple of weeks, and I did see...
My dreams... insane.
I saw an article the other day saying why is the coronavirus and the quarantine like causing people to have such crazy dreams, and partially I think it's because if you don't have a lot of sort of novel experience, like coming into your senses, right? Like if your day to day is very boring, your brain just comes up with crazier stuff at night. That was the theory in this article.
Almost like it's overcompensating emotionally or something?
Well, it's like I think like part of the purpose of dreams is to like process all the new input that you've had over the day and like defrag or something. It's like resetting the PRAM on your brain. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have to do that, your brain is just like, oh, I don't know, let's fucking freak out.
let's have some more drawings of Hatchet Wrenchet face. Whatever.
God. Jen, are you having crazy dreams?
Yeah, I always do, though. I dream very vividly. I've been reading a lot before bed, and I've been reading some like scary thriller. Actually, I just started this book yesterday. It's called Into Thin Air. It's about the Mount Everest disaster in 1996. You know, just to lighten things up. You know, I've just been been too happy lately, so I thought I'd bring myself down a peg.
Jen, I read that in it was like required reading in fifth grade, and I remember going to bed every night reading it, and then just having horrific dreams of drowning on Mount Everest, which doesn't make sense. Spoilers, but that book is so
in a dream. It does. Don't try to make sense of your dreams. Let the dreams make sense of you.
You don't know my dream logic. I do.
I know your waking logic, and I can certainly deviant what your dream logic is like. Oh, this is a thing I could put in my mouth. I mean, like the phrase John Siracusa used was what do you say, brain garbage. So like I've stopped I've stopped trying to like interpret my dreams, and I've stopped trying to like turn my dreams into a story. And instead I make words of what happened in the dream and what it felt like without regard to whether it makes sense. I'm doing four sets of air quotes. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And they've become more fun for me. They've become less daunting for me. They've become more amusing, and they become more of like a little movie that I can watch. I'm not saying other people should do that, but I think sometimes people do try awfully hard to turn a dream into an amusing story or into a, like cogent evidence. Like when my kid tells me a dream, it's like a bad episode of Gilligan's Island. I'm like, you didn't actually dream that, did you? There's got to be some kind of like secret lobster in there or something. There's got to be something more to it than just this thing happened this way. But I don't know. That brain garbage idea is appealing to me because it, I don't know if that's what a scientist would say, but I do think there is some bookkeeping and filing happening. And what you're watching is like whatever's sort of passing through the shredder of your mind.
That makes sense. I'm just kind of trying to think of this in like we're dreams are for the foreseeable future going. It's just going to be a pseudoscience. But I mean, there's a really direct correlation to me. I'll start over. Now I'm going to have my coffee. Hold on.
I think dream is the time when my memories of my family's birthdays are overwritten in my brain with images of Gadget Hackwrench from DeviantArt.
If your birthday had goggles, I'd be more into it.
I think it's for me where my brain dumps the illogical. bad mouse. But I always have dreams about family members dying very tragically. And now that hasn't happened for the past few weeks because I think it's like become a very rational and normal fear. I'm like, that's not healthy. So they're just now more and more bombastic. Like, you're going to die in a gigantic shopping mall, which is not a thing that can happen at this moment in time. Why are there more pictures of horny mice on
that,
the screen?
No, that one's not horny. That last one I want to get as a tattoo.
It's very sweet.
This is very cute.
isn't that one good?
She's so cute.
Imagine rolling up your sleeve.
I'm gonna sleep on it. I'm not gonna get it today, but I might get that as a tattoo.
Does she have crooked camel toe, or is that just how she's drawn?
Is that the latest release of Android? Update immediately.
Oh my god!
Crooked camel toe is available. What are we doing here? What's happening?
I don't know. I got hacked.
Hey, I got hatchet ratchet face.
Hatchet
She's
ratchet.
So cute. She's going hi. That's a show art right there.
That's really funny. What if I got that as a tattoo on my bicep?
I think it would look amazing.
It's yeah, really when you flex, she would wave.
It's really funny.
Oh, that'd be so cute. That like a really like a dancing cute. Hula girl, except it's ratchet.
If people ask me what's up with that tattoo, I'd be like, it's Gadget Hack Crunch. I found it on DeviantArt.
I commissioned
an artist.
I can do one
for you right now. Oh my god, what if Max moved from his the assault of magic tricks to the assault of you're getting a tattoo from me? That'd be so fun.
Wow.
I've designed many tattoos for people. I have.
Merlin, do you not know this?
Huh?
Wait.
What?
Oh.
What about Gadget Hack Wrench as I Dream of Jeannie and she's pregnant?
Oh, and getting eaten by Colonel Nelson? Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. And belly dancing. No, scroll up. It's two up.
Oh, sure. Is that a banana? Oh, that's a genie lamp.
That's the lamp.
And what's in her tummy? Is that a baby?
It could be.
Oh, that's Major Nelson. Major Nelson's in her tummy, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's Major Nelson. Oh, I have a movie. I have some movie news. I could share some movie news.
Yes, please.
So our friend of the show, Todd Vaziri, has been posting about watching some classic films with his family. He posted that he watched The Great Escape was one of them, and then there was
I know this. They've been watching News Radio, and movie wise, what are they watching?
There was another one other than The Great Escape. But anyway, I've never seen The Great Escape. I've never seen a ton of classic movies just because I didn't grow up in a classic movie household. Like my family didn't watch like tons of classic movies, so I've actually never seen The Great Escape, and I was like, this is ridiculous that I haven't seen that movie. So I bought it and I watched it, and it's so good. Have you guys seen
Isn't
The Great
good?
Escape? It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. Oh my god, it's so good. Like I've obviously
it really knows what it knows what it's doing, you know. It knows its tone.
Mm-hmm. Like obviously I've seen it parodied 100 times, but it's just Toy Story, Chicken Run, the Disney show Recess, like it's just like it like created all these tropes that still.
It's one of those things, almost like it's hard to go all the way down, like something like a Dirty Dozen type movie, which becomes things like Inglourious Basterds, Forrest Gump from Navarone, all those kinds of movies. Yeah, ditto here. Like that's like the I feel like it's kind of the canonical movie of that kind.
It was amazing. Like every little detail and bit of that movie was just like, it was so delightful. I was riveted. I loved it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. And then there were many recommendations for your dad, movies for your dad to watch, Jen. How's that project going?
Yeah. So my dad's recovering from surgery and doing so well that he's like bored. My dad is an old Italian Midwestern man who's literally been working since he was 12 years old. He's like a Ron Swanson type. Who he like when he was like 10 years old, he would sell tomatoes that his mom like out of a wagon on a sidewalk.
Aww.
So this is his first time.
That's
in his
so cute.
Life. I know, so cute. First time in his life not working.
I love that.
And I'm like, you could watch some movies, and he does enjoy movies. So I'm trying to like make a collection of things that he can easily access on Netflix and in Hulu. He understands Netflix. He sort of understands Hulu. He's having a little trouble with Hulu.
No one understands Hulu.
Yeah.
It is the darkest art.
Yeah, I don't understand Hulu.
Yeah. If your dad can watch anything on Hulu, I'm sure he is smarter than me, but he's also way better at the Hulu interface. Like, I have to shout at my TV.
Hulu's it's a maze puzzle, not an app.
Ugh, it's so bad.
I'm curious to hear how that goes and what he ends up liking. Todd sent you some real good ones.
He watched Triple Frontier, that Oscar Isaac movie with Ben Affleck. The one where the donkey explodes into money. And he said it was smaltzy. And I don't know what that means. Does anyone know what smaltzy means?
I know what smalt means. So
schmaltzy is Yiddish.
Yeah. So smaltzy, not schmaltzy.
Yeah, it's like morose or...
Alex, what's smaltzy? I would love to learn what smaltzy is.
No, I'm saying I know what smalt is.
Well, first, let me tell you about the importance of centerpieces.
Exactly. There we go.
What's smalt?
Do you not know what smalt is?
No.
Wow.
Is that the smart salt shaker?
Smart salt, yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Smalt is nothing.
How have we
Smalt is a made up doo doo word.
Actually, we should check in on Smalt. How are they doing?
I do all the time. It's still pending their campaign. So
are you guys getting aggressively? I'm getting aggressively advertised for a new type of device that's a thing you can keep in your pocket to like push elevator buttons. It's like a mechanical finger.
That's what I sent you. Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. No.
Is that like an Instagram ad kind of thing?
I'm getting.
Yeah.
I'm like haunted by this ad. It follows me from website to website. I see it in news articles. I get an Apple News. I get an Instagram. I'm getting this fucking thing everywhere. I'm never gonna buy it.
It's a thing longer.
Elevator button pusher. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just a. I have already ordered mine, and I do this already with my keys, but I look like such a dick because, you know, like some places you just need to push the numbers on the, you know, the at the register, right?
Or you got to sign for yeah. something at the drugstore, that kind of thing. I'm a knuckle man.
My hands are too big. I've got like the giant
Yeti hands.
Weird Yeti hands, and you know, first the hair is stuck in there and then I'm suddenly pulled into the machine, but it always looks like I'm stabbing at their stuff and like trying to break it, but now I'm like, if this is going to it's going to be like masks where we all have poking devices that are clean and sanitary and it won't look weird to use. You don't.
It's not clean and sanitary though. Like once it's touched the elevator button, now it's dirty with elevator.
It
People
is.
Think this is one axis thought right here.
That's why you clean it afterwards.
This is how Zoomers will like have sex. They'll take off their they'll reach into their pocket and take out their little pointing devices and like they'll just the tips. They'll touch them.
Like Sweeney Todd with his knives.
Yeah, and no, then they'll both friends. And then they'll both roll over and just go on TikTok. I assume.
That sounds awesome. Oh,
everything sucks.
This is like in Victorian times when there were all sorts of like proprietary devices for like bathroom usage and like hole cleaning and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
That would be a fun time. A fun time. Like people were upset about legs of furniture. That's what an exciting time that must have been. Talk about horny. Look at that ottoman. Woof. Hunka, hunka, hunka.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So my thought was, though, what happens if we all we all emerge from our houses on whenever, May 1st or whenever, accordion hands, like whenever we all go outside and like, I say it's like Galapagos because we've all become so fucking weird in our own different ways over several weeks. What happens when we have to get smooshed back together again and you discover like, could be something as trivial as like, wow, you need a haircut or wow, you stink or whatever. But it could also be you've just developed, you know, I might stop wearing underwear. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know who I'm trying to impress with this underwear business. That's week four. That's at week four. Like, I don't know where I'm going to be in 2 months from now. I really don't. Do you know what I mean though? Like we're each becoming, does it feel like we're each becoming weird in our own slightly bespoke ways?
Yeah. I'm growing a proboscis so that I can get nectar out of my cat's water dish.
That's funny. Aww.
It's like, do you remember when there was the what the office worker of the future is going to look like?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. So the slumped over woman. Oh, my God. Yes.
That's it. That's why. That's how we get there. This is how we get there.
That was so dark. I've got to see
this
it.
This was always part of the plan.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Oh, my God. Yes.
Our thinning hair and our just like.
Oh no, this
sinking,
is so awful.
Lack of standing.
This is so awful.
Our ankles are all
sending
like
it.
Potato-y.
It's her hunch that bothers me. I don't like the hunch. Okay, so we'll put this. Oh no, no.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put this in show notes. All right. Yeah, oh, she's got cankles. She got cankles, yeah.
So very quickly, I put this this link in. It's Todd made me a list of movies to watch on Letterboxd.
Oh, cool.
Letterboxd. Go on. It's called do you see that link? Pre-1970 Populist Starter Pack. Have you? I haven't seen two-thirds of these. Have you guys seen all these movies?
Let's see.
So far, yes. I haven't. Well, I have to look closely because
movies.
some of these posters I haven't seen before and are great. What's the?
Never seen The Wild Bunch.
I actually haven't ever seen High Noon.
I haven't seen High Noon. I recently rewatched The Searchers, and I did not. That movie has not aged well.
Well, you know, the pacing of a lot of these is pretty glacial by today's standards. I mean, mm-hmm. Vertigo will never stop being one of the strangest movies ever made to me. Night of the Hunter is extremely good. Apartment's pretty funny. Dirty Dozen is really good.
Never seen Bringing Up Baby.
Oh, really?
That's charming.
It is.
Never seen Double Indemnity.
Oh, Shit Dog. It's the father from My Three Sons. Getting in on that insurance scam. What else we got here? Wild Bunch. Yeah, these are good. I think High Noon's a little overrated. I think for the time, it's an important movie, but I think it's a little overrated. I love Rear Window. My kid just turns on Rear Window sometimes. You've seen that, right? Right, Max?
Yes.
Okay.
Seen Bridge Over River Kwai.
I'm trying to think of, like, what's the most important of these. I'm, you know, trying to pull that film degree out of my ass, and
I love 12 Angry Men. I think 12 Angry Men holds up as a very good movie.
Mm-hmm. That's, of all of these movies, I think this and Vertigo, 12 Angry Men and Vertigo are my favorite, but I don't know. Well, no, Rear Window. I don't know what's most important, though. Like,
well, it depends what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, like, watching, I don't know if you need to sit down and watch all of The General. Like, forgive me, Todd. There's a lot you can pick up from just, like, highlights of The General. And Safety Last, I mean, any Harold Lloyd movie is great. The stunts are just so insane in those. But, I mean, that's famous for a reason. North by Northwest is quite an achievement, though, also. French Connection? I don't know, man. That might be a little dated. I don't know. This is a good list, though, for sure.
I'm excited. I'm going to work through. I'm going to watch all these while I'm stuck at home. You know what's great is what's her name? The comedian who had the show on Comedy Central. She did the 12 Angry Men parody. Can't remember her name.
I have no idea what you're talking about, actually.
Oh, Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer, yeah. The Inside Amy Schumer 12 Angry Men episode.
That was a very funny bit.
It was really, really well, and just well executed, too.
And like a nice pairing with for that one is also Last Fuckable Day. You remember that one? There's one called Last Fuckable Day, and it's Amy Schumer's last day that men have decided that she's fuckable, and she has a party with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Tina Fey, and it's very, very funny. That's funny. And very Tina Fey. Yeah, I like that show. I think she's a riot.
I have to bring it up because they're still mad at me. Have you seen the film Sneakers? Because Casey Liss and our friend Todd have just been all over me about this movie that I've never heard of.
No, I've never seen it. Should I see it?
Okay.
Sneakers.
I don't know. I had literally...
Dan Morin, too. Dan Morin's also a fan. It's a very good movie.
Okay.
1992.
It's just so wild that I had never heard of it. Like, this movie...
Really?
It's
a really good cast. It's,
right!
It's got Strahan in it. I love that man.
It looks so good. And now I'm just... Okay, that was all.
I think it holds up very, very well. Yeah.
It looks really good, and it's one of those things where do you ever like watch a movie and then from like 10 years ago and you're like, where the fuck was I when this was going
all the
on?
Time. Yep. Totally.
And this feels like one of those, but just in terms of like historical, not goofy. Yeah, I guess like historical goofy action movies that would totally be in my wheelhouse that totally missed it. I was also 2 years old, but. Still.
No, there's a lot of those. I'm not going to talk about this with regard to video games because I don't want to get yelled at. But I do feel like there are certain windows of, if not necessarily opportunity, but there are times when you're going to be, like the way the McElroys can talk about 90s TV shows for kids or Gadget Wrench or whatever. Like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I was in my 30s and married when those were on. And like, so I don't have any context for going, oh yeah, that's cool. DuckTales, Treasure Bath. Okay, cool. Like, but like, what? I have no obligation to appreciate any of that because I was a grown ass man at the time. And my allegiances, you know, are for older things. But anyway, I do feel like there are the corollary. Sorry, I just did a Sondheim. You see that? Oh, there's my new Sondheim I'm doing. I've been working on this one. I think this one.
Oh.
This one, and then you bring this, you go for a full Sondheim out of that. I do feel like there are times
like a very complicated sex move. All right.
There was like okay, so there was this period, and then I'm just for me, there was this period in the 90s, 80s, and 90s when I was going to the movies like a lot, and so there are so many by today's standards obscure independent movies that I mean, now in the times when you can like find them different places, it's one thing, but it used to be the film festival or whatever would bring this to town and you had one opportunity to see it and it was a big deal and it was in French and stuff like that. So there's, I'm way oversubscribed in a good way to like a certain period of like pretty deep catalog on some 80s and 90s, like independent films. But then there's other stuff where like there are these holes. A good example would be, let's say, oh, I don't know, around 2007 and 2008, when I did not get to see a ton of grown-up movies in the theater. And I'm like, how did I miss this movie? It's like, oh yeah, that's right, we had a tiny crying person in the house, so I didn't get to go to that, where I used to go to things. You know what I mean, though? Like there are these weird... like, I don't know how to describe. Do you know what I'm trying to say, though? Like, there's certain things where you have way too much knowledge about this one period of stuff just because you were saturated with it. And there's these other times that are like culture deserts in your mind. Or, like, I don't know what happened that year. I have no idea.
I feel like that for video games. There's times in my life when I'm like, I don't know, I'm not busy or whatever, playing a lot of games. And then there'll be like 5 years where I basically don't have time to play, really get that into any video games. And then I'll be like, man, they haven't made a good game since 2013. It's like, well, no, you just haven't. I haven't played any.
Yeah. That's like saying nobody makes good food anymore when you just like don't eat or something.
I had a hot take that last year, that 2019 was a really bad year for movies.
You did.
And everyone got, I got a lot of heat for that online, but that 2019.
Because you're wrong.
No.
That's why you got heat.
There was a few good, like Parasite was good. There was a few good things that came out in 2019. But if you
Parasite was amazing.
Yeah. I'm not saying Parasite was a bad film. I'm saying overall, there were like less good films in 2019 than come out in most years.
Right.
Compared to what, though? Like, I still don't... Like, name a year with worse...
This is what makes it a hot take. There's absolutely no reason. There's no reason behind
Deeming
it.
Deeming hot take.
When's the year that all the good movies came out? Was it 1996?
1999.
It's 2006.
Yeah, no, sorry. Go look it up. 1999 was when all the good movies came out.
No, yeah, you're right. I'm thinking of 19. Yeah, look up movies from 1999.
I mean, it's a famous shop worn bit at this point that there's a shocking number of very good movies that almost everybody likes that came out in 1999.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm just gonna list a couple movies from 2019 that I think make it a good year.
I'm just gonna get owned. All right.
did you see The Farewell?
No.
No, it's in my queue. I mean to watch that.
Yeah, same. I gotta see it.
You gotta see it. Booksmart?
Yes.
Loved it.
Wasn't as crazy. I thought it was fine, but I didn't think it was like as amazing as everyone else did. I thought it was
I went in knowing nothing, which was key. Like somebody being able to say it's a Jonah Hill movie with Jonah Hill's sister, like you'd go like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess they kind of did do that. But the other girl, they're both so charming. Okay, keep going, keep going.
It's Uncut Gems.
And the other girl's on Grey's Anatomy. Oh, fuck, Uncut Gems. Yeah, yes, all of these. Yeah. Keep owning him.
Midsummer.
Didn't see it. Too scary.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Never heard
of it. Oh, I want to see
haven't
that.
Seen
I haven't
it seen yet. It.
Never heard of it.
Oh.
Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Yes.
Let's see what else. Just scroll in.
Is this thing on? Can anyone hear me? I've said Knives Out.
I hear you now. Hi.
Your audio's been weird.
Sure. Knives Out.
Knives Out.
Knives Out.
I didn't
Knives
Out. Like Knives Out. It's
That's
the first
okay.
time I've said it publicly. I'm sorry.
Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, Jojo Bachelor. That is a huge movie in our house.
I just saw it the other day.
I love
Holy
it.
Shit.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
The first third and the last third.
Yep.
Oh my. I mean, the whole movie is good, but I was not prepared for the last act of that movie.
I think I think that movie has one of the strongest first 10 minutes of any film I've ever seen. But I don't know. I could be wrong about this, but I think it's a fine movie. Like, nothing against Jojo Rabbit. I just don't think anyone's going to be thinking about Jojo Rabbit in 10 years the same way we're thinking about The Matrix.
We bought a poster, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let me do. Here's some 99s for you. We can go do a little round robin. Let me catch
Taika
up.
Taika Waititi as Hitler is very funny.
Oh God,
oh
he's so
God.
Goddamn funny.
He's very funny.
Hire
me, man. Just throw it out. Just throw it out there,
hire me, man.
Yeah.
Hitler. Who's Hitler? Matrix, Fight Club, American Beauty, not very good. Sixth Sense, Being John Malkovich, Magnolia.
Now we're talking.
Magnolia, Eyes Wide Shut, Iron Giant. I'm just going kind of randomly here. Boy, a lot of these have not stood up as well as I expected. Boys Don't Cry. You don't hear about that much anymore.
Oh, yes, you do. Well, in my circles.
Sorry. In your circles? Yeah.
With those people.
Damn. Man on the Moon.
I've never seen it. Mm.
Ooh, very good. Green Mile.
Let's see. Election. Galaxy Quest. Green. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Being John Malkovich.
This is... Whoa.
A lot of good movies. I don't know.
Adam Sandler's Big Daddy. Oh, She's All That. Stuart Little.
Office Space.
I like that movie. Kevin, you do some.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
This is a good show. I can tell already this is a good show.
Yeah.
Well, I have a theory. I have a theory that I want to share with the group.
Doug's first movie.
Doug's first movie.
With the titular Doug.
There was the year 2006 was when every sort of like stoner comedy that like people remember as being like defining that sort of genre came out. They all came out in 2006 because that was the year that like what was it like Accepted and Idiocracy and Grandma's Boy and Beer Fest and Nacho Libre and Tenacious D, like all of those, Let's Go to Prison, Employee of the Month, like all of those movies that had Rob Schneider in them, like Benchwarmers, all of those movies all came out in the same year.
Wow.
Damn, 2006 was a fucking great year for movies, though.
Look at 2000. You get Children of Men.
Oh, my gosh.
Borat, Pan's Labyrinth, The Prestige, which my wife still claims she did not like.
Oh!
I think that's insane.
Casino Royale, yep. Departed, mm-hmm. Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, that's so charming.
Now, that's a good year for movie. Devil Wears Prada, I like that movie.
That's a good movie.
Anne Hathaway.
Give me our money.
Well, Anne Hathaway is a fan of Max's, so, you know, there's that, yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah, do you not remember this? This is pre...
No.
Is this, Jen, is this pre-You at Cards, too?
This was, like, 2011.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but holy shit, it was the Les Mis year, where on the red carpet, someone was like, Anne Hathaway, what are you up to? And she said, you know, I love playing the game Cards for Humanity. Like, yeah, she definitely said it wrong. I forgot what it was.
I don't think that was the Les Mis year.
Oh, man.
It was before that.
When did Les Mis even happen?
This was not the year she won. It might have been the year she was... Hmm.
Well, if it was 2006, that would be Devil Wears Prada.
2011.
Yeah, it was 2011, 2012, somewhere around there.
Got it. Was there... Did you guys do anything for that, Max?
I know the answer to this.
Oh, yeah, we did, actually. Yeah. What did we do?
You changed the website to say, hey, Anne Hathaway, some of us are single. You can call us here.
Yeah. We made a special phone number you could call if you're Anne Hathaway to date us. We made an Anne Hathaway dating hotline. And you picked up, and it's like, if you are Anne Hathaway, press 1 now. If you are not Anne Hathaway, press 2. Para español.
Your call is very important.
Prima numero dos.
I have a theory. Like, all podcasts now are kind of what we're doing, just listing
popular
movies
media
or talking about music. And is it because we're bored, or is it because we're longing to go do these things again and make these things again? Because I thought I hated seeing movies in like a commercial theater, and now
before you even answer that, let me tell you this: movies from 2007, movies from 2007, fucking Zodiac, There Will Be Blood, Ratatouille, No Country for Old Men, Juno,
Pornhub, RedTube.
Things better than my own grandmother.
God.
He's in the hot dog suit.
So what you're saying then potentially is that if you look up a year and movies, there may be good movies in there.
No, because look at fucking... Now I'm going to look up 2019 movies.
No, I'm making fun of myself because I'm all like, hey, I'm not Johnny 1999, but like there's good movies every year.
No, there's some years are good years and some years are bad years. 2019, not a strong year for movies.
Oh,
I'm
my.
Sorry. Not that good.
I think it's a matter of perspective, too, though, because, like, I think I saw more movies in 2019 that I enjoyed than in 2018.
2018 was a pretty bad year for movies, too. I think part of the issue is that a lot of the air is getting sucked out of movies by horror and superhero, and there's less in general. We are the movies that are getting like distribution and stuff like that. Like more creative energy is going into TV, which is awesome. I love it, and less wild energy and risk taking is going into movies. And you know it'll change and bounce back over time, but it's just we're in a stretch of, in my opinion, not super excited. However, wait a minute. 2017, fucking baller year for movies. 2017's an all-timer great movie year.
Give me one.
Phantom Thread, Big Sick, Get Out, Dunkirk, Logan, which I fucking love that movie. Baby love Driver, movie. Shape of Water. Later. I also enjoyed that. I know that's not a popular pick.
I like that one.
Spider-Man, Homecoming.
Oh, Coco.
2017, very strong year for movies. I don't know. I don't have a good theory for this.
I talking about this just makes me sad because we're going to, you know, when is the next time we're going to say, oh, man, that's the year movies came back or.
Well, also in 2017, let's not forget the Matt Damon movie Downsizing, where everyone became small.
like. Literally.
Like, it's funny because I just saw some Gadget Hack Wrench art that referenced this.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Oh, this movie looks
Downsizing.
Oh my God.
You have to see the trailer. I think there's it's one of those movies that I think has a nut shot in the trailer. If I had to guess.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, on the face of it, this immediately reminds me of a movie that would be in Seinfeld.
Like
Sack Lunch. Yeah. Don't you want to know how they got in the back? Rochelle. No, look at the poster for Downsizing. It looks straight out of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sack Lunch with Dabney Coleman.
Get small, live large. Matt Damon is Downsizing.
Oh, boy.
Oh, fuck.
God.
Downsizing. Science fiction satirical. Wait a minute. This is not a thing. According to the Internet Science site, Downsizing is a 2017 American science fiction satirical political drama film. By Alexander Payne. Yeah. Oh, that guy. Oh, that's that guy Felix always makes fun of.
2016, okay. Bad year for movies. 2015, great year for movies. I don't know. It's just random.
Oh, my God. It's almost like nothing. It means nothing, and it's totally arbitrary.
It's almost completely arbitrary.
Yeah.
No, it's not arbitrary. It's whether there's good movies or not.
I don't think there's enough sense to it to even be arbitrary. He's literally flipping a coin.
It's good year, bad year. Good year,
bad. Good.
No.
Good.
No, no.
Three bad years.
It has.
Wait. Which years?
Doesn't matter. Next two. Good. 1 year. Bad. 4 years. Very bad.
It's perfectly reasonable. It's based on
too many films with Orientals. Speaking of which, Alexander Payne, Alexandra Hamilton, Payne was married to Sandra Oh, and then they got divorced.
I know. He messed up the best thing he ever had, and nobody should watch Election or
something. Your hands would just get lost in that hair. It'd be amazing.
There's so much of it. Oh, and
so
and
much.
She's
it's so
back.
Big, and she's always playing with it. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Sandra Oh, she's underrated.
We should get to our challenge such as it is. I would like you guys to choose for me. I felt like having a treat today.
Oh.
So I could either have a Stewart's cream soda or I can have a Stewart's orange and cream.
Orange
and cream.
I like orange. Yeah, orange.
I have no objections. What year is it?
Let me check. Oh, shit. 2016.
That's a
terrible
bad
year
for
cream
sodas.
Bad year for cream sodas.
Why are we here? What's happening? Challenge.
Dig Dug Challenge. This week's challenge was...
Jen LLM and coffee.
So, Jen, what MLM did you design?
It is so cute that you guys thought I would do this challenge.
Why? We all did it. We all did it.
Yep.
Did we?
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm, that's how mm-hmm. I remember it.
2020, bad year for challenges.
Oh, God. We could just talk about coffee then.
Mm-hmm. I am so... Well, did... Oh, we did talk. All right. Merlin, why don't you start us off?
Can I go get my bottle opener and come back? Can somebody else go while I go get my bottle opener?
Somebody smash it on the desk. What are you talking about? You just pop it off. Do it with your teeth.
Mm-mm. I can do the thing, but I don't want to break the top off. I only got four of these. Oh. Made with cane sugar.
I only have four treats.
Okay, I'm gonna go get an opener. Max, didn't you prepare for this one? Didn't you do like a lot of things for this?
Yeah, I did some stuff.
Oh, you want to go last because you finally did one. Okay.
His treat.
Alex, talk while I get my bottle opener. Please.
Who's gonna go here? Alex, I saw that you got some very exciting and possibly. Don't you vomit when you have coffee?
Okay, no, I vomit when I have too much milk. And when we had a coffee challenge like 2 years ago, I kept sampling the coffees that you did not like, and I had too much milk, and then I left and threw up and came back to the recording like a champ.
Oh, God. I remember that when we went, yes. when we sent Kara to get one of every coffee from the place because we were trying to figure out how to get a cappuccino.
Yep. And I just hate coffee. My body hates milk. I don't know. I don't think my taste buds have any objection to milk, but it seems like a weird texture. But for this challenge, I decided to buy the Bell. What? I can't even. The label's messed up. It's one of those Nespresso pod dispenser dinguses.
Oh, you got like the Marco ones, right?
No.
Yeah, what are these? Are these like Keurig cups? What is this?
It's basically Keurig, but for espresso shots. They're very...
There's so much cartoon animal lore in the chat.
Yep, yeah. There sure
is. And then
one
humpback lady.
Oh, yeah.
a humpback cankle lady with dermatitis.
Nespresso pods.
So I decided,
Roma,
you know, what would
Levanto.
Be
the...
it's, they're all
Capriccio.
So dumb.
Ristretto.
Can't I just get a fucking coffee flavored coffee?
Here's your sign.
You know,
just give me a fucking large. I just want a large.
I want a podcast that's just. I just want Kevin reading Italian words like Brian Butterfield.
Nespresso, Nespresso, Arrivederci,
a lungo,
Cornolingus.
This is another detraction, but I've been watching the new part two of the new Terrace House series, and there's an Italian boy on it, and his name is Pepe, and he draws manga, and he's very aww, handsome, but he's teaching them how to make like carbonara and stuff, and it's fun because they're all like, ooh, he's so exotic. And his name is Giuseppe, but he says, call me Pepe.
Call me Pepe.
Now I just...
He's a good boy so far.
I love it when you call me Big Pepe. Nespresso.
Arpeggio.
Arpeggio. right.
So I here, let me just show, actually, Matt's going to bring me another one, but do you see?
Yeah, you're drinking it out of a sample jar.
It's, so it wouldn't.
What does that say on it?
It says shots. I've been putting espresso shots in alcohol shot glasses because there's no other, like, in order to put it underneath the little dispenser, there's no other way to get it if unless you have a proper...
Does it go in a machine? It goes in a big machine and then
it spits it out just like a Keurig, but it's like teeny tiny. I'll send you...
Oh, so you do, but you do need a machine for this.
Yes. Here, let me send.
Okay, I see.
See, that's what I thought when you shared the picture. I was like, these are like a Keurig situation.
I was wondering.
Venezia, Napoli, Yemen, Quarto, Scoro, Palermo.
Well, I kept thinking. thinking, like, can I just put the powder into my mouth and swallow it? Because that's just, like, what it is. Here, I sent you this. This is what I made.
They're like little plastic bubbles.
Oh, yeah. I definitely will be killing many seagulls in the wild due to this.
Yeah. These are the perfect swallowable size for waterfowl.
This is the worst.
So you're thinking, just so we're clear here, Alex, you're thinking about taking the coffee powder and putting it right into your mouth. Is that correct?
Well, because I don't enjoy the taste of coffee.
So you would take out the part that makes it into coffee and just have the coffee without the water, and that would be better?
Alex, what if you do it like, what if you carry a little wooden box with you and you do it like snuff? I always thought that was cool.
Oh, that would be so cool.
That's what my that's what those caffeine tablets, like, I'm like, why can't I just swallow these instead? Matthew is off screen, but is yelling at me to take this now because that the shot will die, and I still don't really understand what that means.
Tell Matt, I can explain it if you want.
Matt worked at Starbucks, right?
Tell Matt to come say hi.
Matt, come explain. Hi, Matt. Explain the espresso shot that you.
No, I can't. I don't.
Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
I'm supposed to explain an espresso shot, and I don't know why.
Explain why the shot will die if you don't drink it right away.
Oh, because, like, the bottom of it will come to the top. So there's, like, the crema on top, and then there's the body, and then there's, like, the espresso, like, on the bottom, the like base of the coffee, and it goes all the way to the top, then it just tastes like dead burnt coffee, and it's gross.
Oh, so it's physics. There's like layers naturally to how it wants to be when it's fresh.
Yeah, so it tastes like smooth if you drink it right away, but if you wait,
you're when you make the coffee, you're getting all the these delicate flavor oils to come out of the beans, and they don't last very long. It loses its flavor after, I've heard, like, after 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. All my Starbucks knowledge there.
You have to, you have to do this. That's why when people get espresso and they just like get in the little thing and they take it to go, they're doing it wrong or whatever.
Oh yeah, because it's disgusting.
You're supposed to just shoot it.
Matt, do you make coffee? Are you the coffee? I mean, clearly you're the coffee person at the house.
Yeah.
What's your coffee setup?
Oh, well, it's terrible. I have like a fancy coffee machine, but I'm usually lazy and just use my Keurig. But I have a machine that like makes lattes and stuff like that. So.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my favorite, honestly. But I use soy milk because I'm kind of lactose intolerant. But isn't everybody?
Have you fucked with the oat milk?
No, I haven't tried it. I heard it just tastes like warm oatmeal, though.
I've been this whole quarantine. I've been going really hard on the oat milk. It's really good. It foams really nicely. It behaves basically exactly like milk. I think it has a really... It doesn't taste quite like milk, but it has a... I like the flavor. It has a good flavor. I don't know. I dig it.
Is it better than almond milk?
To me, yeah.
Yes.
Almond milk is too watery. Like, it doesn't really froth when you... It doesn't get a good... It doesn't behave well, but the oat milk is, I think, is... It also just tastes really good with coffee.
Now I'm going to have to try it.
Mm-hmm. My lady likes it a lot. She says it's really good.
It's got a better consistency than almond milk for lattes, right?
Yeah.
I also want to start using the word behave the way that Max is using it, I think. I want to start talking about certainly the dairy products in my life and how well behaved they are. But I think this is also maybe my new sorting algorithm for my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like the way that you're behaving right now. You're a little too... You have a watery bottom. It's not blooming. You're not fresh. I like a bloom. I used to get a good bloom out of the Tonks coffee.
Yeah.
Now Tonks is something else. No, what's Tonks now?
Now it's called Oh Hey or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Something like that. We get this. I don't have much to offer for this. Well, here's what I do. I have this that I swear by, which is called the Clever Dripper. It's in show notes.
Clever Dripper.
And put a number four in there, a number four filter, and it's got this cool little dingus where when you put it in, I follow mostly the method of the AeroPress, except that you use this. So I boil the water, put a certain amount of coffee in, I stir real slow, like let it sit for like about 30 seconds, and then it's got this cool dingus where when you put it on a mug, it
bottoms itself out.
Can you hear it?
Oh.
Yeah. And these are great. I worry that these are going to go out of production or something. So I've got like three of these in my stockpile, which is for the government, not for the states. But this is where that goes. And I love it. And then I drink the coffee. I used to be a half and half man, and now I am a black. No, I'm a black man.
Sometimes you say a thing before you understand what you're saying.
I know.
That's okay. It's you and Justin Trudeau.
I couldn't change. I imagine like a track where I got to change the train to this other track.
You saw the trajectory and there was nothing that you could do to get out of the way.
Yeah. No, much like Elizabeth Warren, I used to be a Native American.
I was born a poor black child.
It's called, the new Tonks is called Yes Please, but with, it's just PLZ. Yes Pulls.
Yes Pulls.
Yeah.
And then I drink something my lady got me started on that I like quite a lot. It's not as crazy fresh as getting your own beans, but it's this company called Tiemann's. This is also in show notes, T-I-E-M-A-A-N. And they do this low acid coffee that's a little easier on the tummy, but still pretty tasty. And so that's mine.
Alex is busy opening their Crazy Bones. So
Alex is sitting on the floor opening Crazy Bones.
Yep.
Like it's Christmas. I can go. I can talk about coffee.
Coffee, coffee, coffee.
Coffee, 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 coffee. I have been doing the same thing for a very long time. I use a V60 pour over thingy. It's sort of the same thing that what you showed, Merlin, but it's shaped, it's white, it doesn't have a lid, doesn't have a bottom out.
Do you like the Melita? The Melita one? Like the plastic?
It's kind of like the Melita. It is ceramic. It is white and ceramic.
Yeah.
And I will link it.
Oh, this is my old one. Like these are great. I don't like the number 2 sized ones. I like the number 4 sized ones. I that's supposed to be a pot of coffee, but I'm like I just make one strong big coffee and drink it. I don't know how that's supposed to be a whole pot of coffee.
It's like a single cup.
Mm-hmm.
I have
we call it a one hitter.
Trying to find what it is. Yes, exactly. I can put a picture in the chat.
Will it be sexy?
It will not be a pregnant mouse, I promise.
Oh.
Everything's sexy if
I'm
you're
out.
Horny enough.
I'm out.
I have my special little like water boiler.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Boils almost the exact right amount for one
cup. That's a great setup.
Yeah, I use one filter, the number 2 boys, and then I use pre-ground coffee. It's a cardinal sin. You're not supposed to, but I don't care.
I forgive you for your sins.
But I mean, it's kind of like wine, where like this is no shade at anybody intentionally, but like it's sort of like the way wine. I don't know if wine's still like this, but as long throughout my whole adult life, wine has been this way. To signify, let's just say snootiness, not even fanciness, snootiness. Like that there is that wine was meant to be this thing that you couldn't just enjoy. You had to also be a student of wine. And like you were some kind of like a cur if you were like drinking 2 buck chuck or something like that. And I feel like, you know, with coffee, it's like, I think you should just get the coffee that you enjoy. You shouldn't, if you need it to be as overworked as some people's coffee setups are, that's fine. Like whatever you need. There's people that have that for sex stuff too. That's which is also fine. But like if you can like really strip it down to just like this is pretty much it, or like there's just not that much actually empirically bad coffee. There's bad coffee at one Shell station in Florida that I went to, and all other coffee is fine.
Here, I basically agree with that. The one caveat I would put on it is I always think it's funny when people spend a lot of money on a coffee setup. Like they buy, for example, they buy like a really expensive espresso machine. But then mm-hmm. they buy pre-ground, you know, Folgers coffee or Starbucks coffee. Like the one thing I would say is like, if your project is to make the best coffee, you should focus on buying fresh beans and grinding them before you spend thousands of dollars on coffee accoutrement.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Matt? Does that sound about right?
Yes, I agree.
Because you can get those like those fancy Italian machines, and I look like I'm trying to milk an Italian cow here.
Or maybe sort of a robot
workout middle out compression, but you know, like this giant, like costly 4-figure, like I guess like those are espresso machines, or
yeah, that's what I.
Yeah,
so,
it's an espresso machine.
So I went insane. I got an I had a friend who got me really excited about espresso. This was probably about over a year ago at this point, And I wound up buying a really fancy used espresso machine called I got a La Marzocco Linea Mini. I got it used, so I did not pay the whole sticker price.
It's fair to say that those can be quite costly. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I spent
surprisingly costly.
Oh yeah, yeah. I spent thousands of dollars on an espresso setup, and I felt at the time, I felt really. I had fun and it was educational. I kind of got a nice education and like learned everything about espresso. It's actually fairly helpful in like setting up the game cafe and stuff because we do coffee service there. But I felt so bad about it because I was like, man, I live in a neighborhood with like five coffee shops. Like I could just walk and get this espresso. Like what do I really need it in my house for? Well, the last couple months I've been feeling pretty smart that I got the fancy coffee set up because I can make myself a nice coffee drink in the morning. But yeah, I definitely feel, I have to, you know, it's a whole procedure every morning to make, you're milking the Italian cow. You're like, I'm like an octopus with I'm like an octopus and I'm giving like seven hand jobs and then smoking a cigarette.
Hot. Can I get a drawing of that, please?
Oh, God.
It exists somewhere, I'm sure. Jen, what's your coffee situation like at home?
So my partner gets up before me and we usually have good beans on hand, but he is more about efficiency rather than like taking the time to make fancy coffee. So he just uses like a regular old drip thing, which is fine. Like it doesn't taste bad, yeah. But it's not strong enough. Like I need I don't know. Maybe it's my imagination or maybe I don't know. I feel like a broken human that I need so much of this like watery coffee to feel anything.
When you make it the single cup method or whatever, like how the stuff that we have at the office, like which we have one of those same pour over thingies that I use, that stuff's way stronger. It's always way stronger.
I also feel like it's valuable. I don't know why I'm always obsessing over these unnecessary distinctions, but I think it's useful for me to say that strong and flavorful don't have to be the same thing. Mm. I think a lot of the higher end coffee nerds, which shall remain nameless, but are some of our friends, they actually are not into the bitter Pete's style dark roast. I think the coffee nerds, and Matt can check my facts on this, but I feel like a lot of coffee nerds like something that's like that's not as blah in your face bitter. That's got different notes and it has a lighter roast a lot of the time. But you can have flavorful coffee that isn't, you know, strong in the sense of being like a Pete's style bitter coffee. Mm.
Jen, you should just have him add like extra scoops of coffee to it and then it'll be strong enough for you. Like if you have the like Mr. Coffee, like basic pour over thing, just add like my mom would like sneak in extra scoops because my dad would make it 2 weeks. So like instead of however many it says, add like an extra two.
Sweet. Yeah. Yeah. I believe he does that for me, but it's still not like, I don't want to give the poor man a tummy ache. And I like my coffee. I like my coffee so strong, like it'll clear my sinuses.
Jen, you should get an AeroPress and make like an espresso coffee for yourself.
For an afternoon cup of Job, I've been using French press and burned my hand on it the other day, which made me a little angry at it. And I had a Chemex too, but I broke it and it cut my hand, so we're not on speaking terms.
Yeah. Hey, what espresso should I be getting?
Should you be buying?
So let me put this
beans?
Way. When I went to New Zealand in probably 2011 or 12, something like that. They make Americanos, but pretty much all of their coffee is espresso-based drinks. And the two things I learned very quickly is, well, obviously there's not regular American coffee there. It takes them fucking 25 minutes to make a cup of coffee in New Zealand, but it's so goddamn good. And when I came back, regular like American-style coffee seemed so odd to me. And I went on this jag for about a year with getting a beans from my local place, Brown Owl Coffee, the late lamented Brown Owl Coffee. But is there, should I be looking for local stuff? Like how should I be approaching my enjoyment of a non-super bitter but still very strong espresso coffee?
So I think a couple thoughts on this. So the first thing is I do think you even if you just want regular old American coffee, I think you're often better basically making a shot of espresso and then making an Americano so it's the strength of American coffee, but I think a lot of times you'll get like a better extraction, better flavors from the beans. So you might want to, and you have an AeroPress, right, Merlin?
I do. Yeah, I'm not used. It's kind of disused right now, but that's what I would be using to make espresso. Yeah,
Well, sorry, forgive my palsy. Espresso. It's not like the official, not high enough PSI to be official espresso.
No, it's espresso. I don't know, but I think by my
definition, it's espresso style coffee product.
by my definition, what comes out of the AeroPress is espresso. But maybe not to other people. But anyhow, I would. So espresso does not need to be. So when you talk about an espresso roast, that usually just means a very dark roast. But you don't need an espresso roast to make espresso. Like, you can make espresso from any beans. In fact, I just buy fancy coffee.
What makes it espresso?
Espresso means it has less water. So you don't need
it. It's the grind, and it's also the process, right?
Yeah.
I just learned something new that I did not know.
So I don't like dark, super dark roast, because I think you can't taste all the cool flavors in the coffee. Like, I like more of the, like...
I thought it was... See, before Brown Owl, my whole life, I used to get, like, Steve Buscemi or whatever it is, like the Italian can of, what's it called, biscottis. But I used to get that generic...
Cafe Bustelo.
Ah, that's the spicy meatball, that one. And I would just get that crap and think, oh boy, this is nasty and bitter. This must be espresso. And then I started having Brown Owl would make this. It was still very strong, but it wasn't primarily bitter. But it did have like an explosion of like a middle of the tongue kind of like flavor to it. But it wasn't just, it was tangy and it wasn't all just like weird. And I got hooked. So.
San Francisco is probably the greatest coffee city in America. And there's just so many boutique roasters in San Francisco that...
And I could give them some money right now.
Yeah, and they'll, and you know what's cool too that I would recommend for you is they will grind the coffee however you want and deliver it to you.
Oh,
ground.
Dude, okay.
And then you could just put it in an airtight container.
I'm gonna do it.
But there's one
challenge.
There's one online called Trade. It's called Trade. Look up Trade Coffee, and you can either do a subscription or just a single bag, and they will grind it. However, you can actually put in there underground grind AeroPress.
What? Oh, I'm gonna do this.
And they have some really good. And they have some really good roasters that I recognize on here. I actually think this is probably a pretty good deal. But also, like, if you just Google like San Francisco roaster, most roasters are in my neighborhood are delivering. So,
I love this.
If you want more caffeine and more flavor, you want to go light roast. That's a thing that light roast coffee has more caffeine in it because the darker the roast, the more like burnt it will be.
That seems counterintuitive and fascinating. I did not know that.
It's a common misconception, and Matt can verify this is one of the things that they teach you as soon as you become a barista in any respect.
Yeah, and then
Kevin, were you barista?
Oh yeah,
at Starbucks.
No. I worked at a place in Chicago called the Bourgeois Pig, and I worked.
I fucking love that place.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible place to work.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I have some shit that happened.
I love sitting on the little side room. Mm-hmm. I sit and have conversations there all the time.
Yeah, it's a two-sided restaurant. So there's the food side and the coffee side, and. Yeah, I have a lot of war stories from that time. It was like people not getting paid on time, taking money out of the register in cash because we couldn't get our paychecks through the bank, like paying
people.
Oh,
that's no good.
Yeah, paying people partials and like running out of milk, running out of beans, running out of like things every day.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad place to work. Yeah.
I used to have to go across the street to the grocery store when I worked at Starbucks and get milk and then sneak it over.
Super not legal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Super not up to health code.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that just about wraps it up. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on Do By Friday.
Ding, ding, ding.
And thank you to our guests, Kevin and Jen and Matt.
Hey.
Yay.
Matt, where can people find you if they want more Matt Cox?
Content.
At Maddie R. Cox on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere.
But let's say they wanted to listen to a podcast.
Oh, Two-Headed Girl FM on just, that's our website.
If you really cared, you'd find it. Go to Alta Vista, ALTAVISTA.com, Kevin, what about you?
Oh, I'm anywhere.
Do you want to be found?
Yeah, you can find me on the internet. Are we going to go into the after show, or have we been in the after show?
I don't know. I feel like I need
it's
a nap.
It's very hard to tell.
Yeah, it's very hard to tell. I could do this all day, though.
No one's more excited than me to see how Quinn's going to edit us out of this jam.